Good morning. The power is there. Good morning, everybody. If the ushers could get ready for our offering today. If you're new here today, there's an envelope just in front of you. Also, there's a communication card. If you would like to have a prayer request made known at the office or if you'd like to have a CD, or if you're new here today, you can fill that out, pass that in, and we have a gift for you at the back. If the ushers could come. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you today with a grateful heart. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your blessings that you have given to us in our life. And Lord, we just thank you for salvation. We thank you for life. Lord, we thank you for our first fruits that we can bring them here today and give it back to you. Lord, take this, multiply it, build your kingdom, bless our work here, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a few announcements this morning. I'll highlight on a few things. There's a newcomer's reception. If you're new in the church, there's a meet and greet at the pastor's house. It's in your bulletin, first week of September. Also, there's a men's breakfast coming up the first week of September. And a ministry appreciation night are the highlights and the announcements. Also, if you're interested in small groups, there's an insert in the bulletin. There was one last week. This week, we're going to do it for a few weeks. If you're interested in being a part of a small group, sign up, pick a date. If you'd like to host, also there's a spot to check that. It's a great opportunity to build a relationship and connect with other people within the church. And just remember, too, this week, David and his wife and family in prayer for the bereavement they're going through still. I'd like to say that I am batching it for about 10 days. And my slots are filling up quick. The first service got the jump on you, but I'm trying to book my suppers for the next week. Anyhow, I'd like to just say one funny note before we move on that I heard this morning is there was this young couple and they were out on their first date, and the young guy looks at the gal and says, do you know how to cook? And she looks back and says, can you build a house? Anyhow, look, Pastor Ken's come and share the word with you. Have a blessed week.
Of the Lord, to be involved in the things that are in the future. All right. This past few weeks, we've been talking about the heart. Niels, our Spanish director, speaker, shared last Sunday on the heart. And we ended the service last Sunday by the challenge to everyone that was here from the scripture where the Lord says, "My son, give me your heart. My daughter, give me your heart." You know, the Lord is only after one thing. He's after our heart. Because if we give him our heart, he gets everything. A lot of times we give him a lot of other things. Our time, we give him this or that or money. And the Lord's just saying, give me your heart. And so at the end of the last week, you know, we came forward, we prayed to give our heart to the Lord. But I want to talk to you today, how would we give our hearts to the Lord? How do we give our heart to the Lord? Well, first of all, what is the heart? There's a fill-in sheet in your bulletin. You can take it out and fill it in as we go this morning. Your heart is the center of your affections. The center of your affections. The heart is your core desire. It's, you could call it the center of gravity. It's the core of your being. And if you want to know where your heart is, then ask yourself, where do my thoughts go when they're at rest? When I'm not having to do this, or I have to go over there or be involved in this, but just when your thoughts are at rest, where do they gravitate? Because they will gravitate to your heart. They'll gravitate to where your main affection is, your main desire, the things that you value the most, that you treasure the most. It will gravitate there. You know, you can try to do a lot of things for the Lord, and, you know, I'm going to be involved in the things of the Lord, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And so you start, but it's not lasting because your heart's not there. Your heart's not in it. And it's like throwing a ball in the air. You can throw it up high in the air and it will travel up, but eventually it stops and it comes back to the center of gravity. And so it is with ourselves. We can do a lot of things, try to do a lot of things for God, and we struggle. And we get frustrated because we have the intent, we desire to do it, but our heart's not in it. And so we revert back to where our heart truly is. And so the Bible says to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we're going to talk about it this morning. So here's the question, and it's your next fill-in, or it's a statement. You can direct your heart. You can direct your heart. If the Lord says, give me your heart, then that means you can actually do it. The Lord doesn't ask us to do something that we can't do. He says, give me your heart. Well, we'd say, well, how can I do that? I mean, it is there or it isn't. I mean, I either have a heart for it or I don't have a heart for it. And so how do I give my heart to God if I really don't want to, even though I desire, but how do I give him the center of my affection, that he's the core of my thoughts and it's the longing of my soul? How do I give that to the Lord? Well, the thing is, you can direct your heart, or the Lord wouldn't ask us to do so. It's almost like, you know, when we talk about to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind and our soul and our strength. We're to love God. And that's almost like giving another way of saying giving your heart to God. Well, it's a commandment, the first commandment. I say, well, how can it be a commandment? I either love God or I don't. You know, it's like a person. You say, well, you know, love that person. Well, we say, well, no, I either love them or I don't love them. And because out of your heart comes your feelings and comes your longing. So we say, well, I either love them or I don't. Well, the Bible says and commands us to love one another and to love our wives. Now, if that be the case, that again tells us there is a way to actually direct your heart. It doesn't matter how you presently are or where your heart is at this moment, you actually can give your heart to God. Now, how do you practically do this? And this is a powerful message today, because if you lay hold of this truth that I'm going to share, you can give your heart. You can change your heart. You can change where your heart is. You can direct your heart in a certain way. Now, the rest of that verse in Proverbs 23:26 says this: "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." Now, there is the key to giving your heart. "And let my eyes observe your ways." So there is something of the direction of your eyes to observe some things. And as your eyes observe it and see it and you practice it, it changes your heart. Now that, we might just skip right over. And I really want to draw that out this morning to show you how you give your heart to the Lord and how you set your eyes to see certain things. Okay, here's your next fill-in. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, this is a tremendous insight of Jesus. Most people would not come up with this. It took Jesus to come up with it. Because we would say, where my heart is, that's where my treasure is. And the Lord just turns it around. He says, no, where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. In other words, when you set yourself to put your treasure in a certain place, your heart will move there. Now, that is a tremendous insight. Because we say, well, I don't have a heart for that. Well, you may not have a heart for it now, but you put your treasure in that part. Right? What do you treasure? What do you cherish? We cherish our time. We cherish our money. We cherish our, you know, our decisions. You could go through a lot of things. What do you cherish? You put your treasure there, your heart will move there. Now, there is something that you really need to get your head around, because it was a vital teaching of Jesus, and it's key to giving your heart to God. I looked up the meaning of the word treasure this morning. I had put this message together, and I thought, well, I'll just go to the dictionary and see what it says about treasure. And it had an insight I'd forgotten about. Actually, when I thought about it, I thought, well, yeah, that's true. But it says in the dictionary that it... That a treasure is something that you store up. I always thought it was just wealth. It's either money or it's gold or, you know, like a pirate's treasure chest. But what it is the collection and the gathering and the storing of wealth, of goods. And so a treasure is something that you store up over time. It is a collection of things, not just a one-time thing, not just a piece of gold, but a whole bunch of pieces of gold is a treasure. Now that's key, because we're going to see where your treasure is, where you're storing up things, that's where your heart's going to be. So here's your next, and the verse 6:21, I think I mentioned it, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, your next fill-in is this. Your heart is the sum total of the treasure you collect. You want to know where your heart is? It's the sum total of the treasure that you've collected. It's like your heart is the treasure chest. What's in the heart is determined by what you store up, the things that you've held, the things that you keep. Thus, the verse, "Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life." You need to keep your heart and be aware, what am I storing up? What am I putting into my heart? Your heart affects every other part of your being. Your thoughts come out of your heart. Your emotions come out of your heart. It says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. So how you talk, how you feel. Someone says, well, I'm in a bad mood today. Well, why are you in a bad mood today? Because your bad mood is coming out of the treasure of your heart. It's coming out of your heart. well, I feel upset today, I feel discouraged today. That feeling is coming out of your heart. Your emotions come out of your heart. So it's hard just to change your emotion. You have to change your heart. And there's a song we sing, change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Change my heart. So we change our heart by giving it to God. All of these things come together here. We are to repent, the scripture says, from our heart. Repent in our heart. What does the word repent mean? It just simply means to turn 180 degrees. If I'm facing this way and I repent, I turn here and go this direction. So we repent where? In our heart. A lot of people try to repent of actions, but they can't. That's not lasting, because all they're trying to do is change the action. The action's coming out of the heart. Some people say, well, I'm not going to feel moody anymore. Well, how do you do that? You can try to repent of that, but unless it's from the heart, it's still going to. Whenever you come back to a state of rest, you're going to come back to where your heart is. Now, I'm really praying that God will let you see this today, because these are insights that will change your life. If you change your heart, you'll change your life. How do we change our heart? We change our heart by directing our heart in a different direction. Now, when we were last month in New Brunswick down to Larry's son's wedding, Kay and I spent a few days coming back. We went first to St. Andrews, New Brunswick, which is a resort little town on the Bay of Fundy. And we were there, and then we drove back through the States. But while we were there in St. Andrews, we took a boat tour out into the Bay of Fundy to do some whale watching. So we went out on the boat, and they pointed out the whales and so forth. While we're out there, I noticed different places along the shore and out into the bay, there were heart-shaped nets that you could just see it from the boat. You look and it was a heart shape. And I saw it a few places, and I said to the guide who was on the boat, I said, what are those things? He said, they're heart-shaped nets, fish traps. And I said, why are they in the shape of a heart? He said, that's how they work. Now, I went this week and online, and maybe we can pull up the picture that I found that talks about how these things work. At the bottom, where the, you know, it's almost like to us an inverted heart, but at the bottom, that's where the fish go in. It's open. And there's a line, it's just called a tail, that goes to the shore. Now, here's what happens. The fish come along, they come to the trap, the tail, and they swim up that tail, and they swim into the heart. They swim to the top, and at the top, they either go right or left, depending, because they're going to follow the net. They're looking for a way out. They come down, if you go down the right side, they come around the net, and they come up, but rather than making 180 to go out, because they're in the direction, they just swim up to the top again. And they actually are trapped in the net, both sides. And the net just fills up with fish swimming around the outside. Now, how would you get the fish out? The fish would have to repent. The fish would have to do 180 right when it's coming up. It would have to turn right around to get out. But fish don't repent. Humans don't repent much. We get a lot of things into our heart. The heart is the treasure chest. It holds your treasure. And so you are experiencing things. You let things into your heart. You observe it. You see, it swims in. Now, at first, you don't think it's going to stay. I'm just a little dalliance here. I'm just doing this. You don't really like it, but it gets in your heart. And it stays in your heart unless you repent to get it out of your heart. That's why we have to repent from our heart. So, how would you change your heart? You would need to repent to get that which is in your heart out. And you would have to direct that net or heart to catch something different. Now, this is what the guy told me when we're on the boat. He said they turn those nets to catch the kind of fish that they want. They know the flow and the habits of fish. And so that tail that's running down, they'll put it in different areas. And so they catch what they want. Now, folks, here's the key. If you're going to give your heart to God, you have to give to Him what you're seeing, what you're observing, what you're catching. And it flows into your heart. And it will stay in your heart. And over time, you collect it. You collect your heart. So here's the next fill-in. You direct your heart by setting your mind. You direct your heart by setting your mind. What you think about. Your activities. What you see. Where you go. You direct your heart by setting your direction of what you're observing and seeing. Now, folks, that is so important. You need to put a big X and big star by that. Because many people want to give their hearts to God, but they don't direct their heart towards God. They have a prayer. They can pray a prayer of repentance. But because it's only a prayer and it's a good intention and it starts there, we need to pray prayers of repentance. But what will determine your heart is how you set your heart after that. What you do this afternoon, what you do tomorrow and the next day, and what you do over a period of time. Because your heart collects those things, what you set your mind on. Now let me give you a simple example of this that I've seen in my own life. And I've shared this actually before. When I grew up in Hamilton, I was a Ticat fan. And me and my friends, we went to every Ticat game. And we would go down to Ivorwind Stadium, and we would be there. We were quite vocal. We would heckle the opposite side. Sometimes we even heckle our own team, depending on how things were going in the game. But we were involved, and I read about them all the time. When I came home from school, I still remember coming home from school, take the paper, put it on the living room floor, I'd lay down, open to the sports page, and I'd read everything about the Tiger Cats, what they were having. I watched, listened to the fifth quarter. At that time, it was Pierce Allen in the fifth quarter. And so on and on. I would listen. I'd fill my mind and my thoughts with the Tiger Cats. And I never missed a game. I mean, we were there or I was listening on the radio. I remember when we were in Bible school, the Tiger Cats were playing a playoff game. My friend Fred Morris and I, we were in Picton, and it was like 180 miles home. We didn't have a ride. We hitchhiked home to see the game. We didn't have a ride back. We got back late to our classes the next Monday. And I still remember sitting in front of the president of the Bible school explaining to him our activities and what we had done. I remember after pastoring the church here, if something was on, I'd have the radio somewhere. I remember when Kay and I were actually, before we started the church, we were holding meetings in a church in New Brunswick. And I remember sitting in the car on a cold December day, listening to the Grey Cup, the 1972 Grey Cup, which Hamilton won, by the way. Now, why was I doing all that? Because that's where my heart was. Why was my heart there? Because I was filling my mind and thoughts and everything with information about it. And so I didn't have to try, make myself. Oh, I better try to listen to that game. No, my heart was there. Now, over time, as I moved here, I'm removed from Hamilton. I'm not reading much about it. I'm not involved in it. I lose the attention to it. And as a result, I hardly follow the Ticats at all. I don't know who their players are. I don't know who the quarterback is. I did read this morning, however, he got hurt last night as they lost a game. But I never listened to it because I wasn't following it. But I got interested in the Blue Jays. And I read about the Blue Jays. And I know who's in their farm team. And I know the players that's coming up over the next number of years. And I know everything that's happening. And last night, guess what? I had the Blue Jays game on. And I was happy they won. But I'm sad when they lose. And the last little bit, I've been sad while they lose. Why? Because that's where my heart was. My interest, my desires, my thoughts, my emotions were coming out of my heart because I had filled my heart with those things. After the service this morning, someone came up to me, sir, and said, you know, that's so true. He said, I was a Leafs fan. Said, I followed the Leafs so much. And he went back a number of years ago. He said, I remember when they let Cujo leave. And he said, I cried. He said, tears came down my face. I cried. He said, now, you might smile. You may never cried over again. But there are some days I find myself feeling bad the next day. And I think, why am I feeling bad? Well, the Blue Jays lost. Now, folks, this is really, really important. What should we be filling our minds with? What should we be filling our hearts with? Things that are just natural, things that have no eternal significance? Or should we be filling our hearts with things that count for eternity? God says, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Well, how would I give my heart to God? By turning my heart, the trap of my heart, towards spiritual things. And if I think on spiritual things, and I start to be involved in spiritual things, then my heart fills with those things, and I have a heart for it. It's not now I'm throwing the ball against the center of gravity. When I go to do something for God, I want to do it, my heart's for it, and it's lasting and sustainable. But if you don't have a heart for God, you'll try to live the Christian life and be frustrated because you'll try to do something, but you will eventually revert back to where your heart is. And your heart can be for money. Your heart can be for your job. Your heart can be for your family. Your heart can be for lust. It can be all kinds of things. That where does my mind go at rest? Does it turn towards God? How do I give my heart to God? It starts with a prayer, but then it goes by directing that opening of my heart to spiritual things. I let that tail go out towards spiritual things. And so I'm catching everything spiritual. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm around other Christians. These things are feeding my heart. They're feeding my spiritual life. I become stronger spiritually. It becomes to be my predominant desire and hunger. It may not be at the beginning. The beginning might be a repentance. I turn from some things and say, I'm going to turn to God. But it's got to be a persistent, continual, constant direction of your heart towards the Lord. He says, my son, give me your heart. We don't know how to give it. We think it's a prayer. But it's actually turning your heart towards the thing that you want to have. You say, well, I don't want it now. It doesn't matter. Someone might say, well, I don't like photography. I say to you, well, why don't you start reading some photography books? And here's some friends that would like to meet with, and they'll tell you about their photography hobby. And you get into things, and you know now about cameras, and you know about settings, and you see some pictures, and you go to some art shows. And it's amazing that if you gave yourself to that, in just a short period of time, 6 months to a year, you'll be all excited about photography. Because what? Because you set your heart to it. You fed yourself on those things. And you become what you feed yourself. If you want to give your heart to God, you have to make a decision. Decide to give him your heart. And walk it out. Now listen to what these verses say here in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Where do you set your mind? Where do you set the trap of your heart, if I could put it that way? Where do you set it? Set your things on your mind on things above. Be interested in those things. Determine at the beginning, that's what I'm going to catch. You know, your heart may be filled with a lot of other things, but if you repent of them and let them go, they eventually move out, and then your heart is filled with good things. And now suddenly you've become at peace. Listen to what the next verse says in Romans 8, 5 and 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you set your mind on spiritual things, and that's the avenue that you're feeding yourself on, then you suddenly feel life. It becomes part of your being. It becomes part of your thinking. You have peace now because you're not struggling against your heart. Your heart's been redirected towards God. And it's just that constant direction of your heart towards God that allows you to come to life and peace. Testing. All right. I was a teenager, and I still remember where I was on the farm. My dad had a dairy farm. I was on the tractor, and I just parked the tractor, and I put the front end loader down, and I took the lever, and I pulled it, and I put the blade on the back down on the tractor. And I remember thinking to myself, if it's possible to know God, if it's possible that God will reveal himself to me, the creator of the universe, I would be a fool if I didn't put everything towards that. I didn't realize it at the time, but that was a setting of my heart. A realization of a truth, an understanding. I can give myself to lots of things, lots of natural things. Or am I going to give myself to something that's really valuable, that's really important, that's eternal? Am I going to look at things on the earth, or am I going to look at things in the heavens? And out of that, I made some decisions. I was in engineering at McMaster University, and I stopped in my second year of engineering and went to Bible college. Why did I do that? Because I felt I need to set my heart on something that's valuable, something that's eternal. And the more you do it over time, your heart grows in that. But you have to determine, am I going to set my heart? Am I really going to give my heart to the Lord? I'm afraid that many people, in a sense, would say they gave their heart to the Lord. And what they meant was they asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins. And he does. He does forgive us of our sins when we ask him. But I wonder if they've really given their heart to God, because they're involved in wanting to go after a whole lot of other things. God, things of God, church, take a secondary place in their life because they're following their heart, which might be all the other things I mentioned to you. But what would happen if a whole church gave their heart to the Lord? And everybody in that congregation had a heart after God. I remember that's a statement my dad used to say many times to me. We'd be on the farm and we'd have lots of young guys come out and work during the summer with us on the farm. Now, those were a lot of guys I went to the Ticat games with. But I remember Dad saying one time about this young man. He said, "I like that young man. He has a heart after God. He has a heart after God." I didn't totally know at that time what that meant. But Dad saw something in that young man, that he had a heart for God. He wanted the things of God. The decisions he was making was towards God. I think the greatest compliment someone can give you, if someone thinks about you and say, "You know what? They have a heart for God." You know, when you have a heart for God, you can have a lot of problems in your life. You can still be working through a lot of issues. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but you've got a heart set towards God, and you're drinking it in and you're taking it in, and the treasure of your heart is being built up. The center of gravity of your heart is getting stronger and stronger towards things of God. Yeah, you still get pulled in directions by temptations, and you might even succumb sometimes, but man, the center of gravity is back to God. Give us some time and you're going to come back to God, because that's where your heart is. I can truly say, and I really believe this, I've always had my heart given to God. I get distracted and I can sin and I can do a lot of things. Man, my heart's for God. And it pulls me back to the things of the Lord. So here's your final fill-in. Choose what you dwell on. Choose what you dwell on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. How will you come to peace where it's not a struggle to serve God? When will you come to peace? When your heart is set towards him, where you are bringing your thoughts captive. You're not allowing some things into your heart that you would have before. You're guarding your heart with all diligence, because you realize out of my heart is becoming all my emotions, all my feelings, all my actions. I don't want a heart after the world. I want a heart after God. So Paul says here, as he's writing this, he says, you know, he said, you've learned some things from me and you've received it. You heard and you saw it, you know, and he said, it brings peace. Where do you direct your thoughts? Are you just allowing random thoughts to come into your mind? Now, we've been talking about it towards God, and that's the prime thing. But there are so many applications of this. Is your heart for your spouse? Some of you feel trapped in your marriage. Your heart is not for your spouse. And so you're vulnerable to others. Why? Because you've been thinking about your spouse's faults and where they go wrong and how they mistreated you and how they offended you and how they had no right to do that. Or it might be a boss at work, or it might be a neighbor. You're not thinking on things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are of good report, something that's praiseworthy. No, you're not thinking on those things. You're focusing on the negatives. And as soon as you focus on the negative, you're filling your heart with the negatives. It's bringing negative emotions, activities, words out of your mouth towards your spouse. You can turn your heart towards your spouse and decide, I am going to turn my heart there. I'm going to see what's praiseworthy. I'm going to see what's good. I'm going to dwell on that. I'm going to think about that. And as you think about it, your heart turns towards your spouse. And because your heart's turned, your actions change, your attitudes change. You begin to love your spouse, and as a result, they tend to love you back. Where's your heart? You can turn your heart toward against your job. See every negative thing wrong with your job and where you work, and go to work every day and be upset and because of your work. Or you can turn your heart and say, this is the job God has given me, and this is the day the Lord's made, and I'm going to go into that job and I'm going to see how I can help someone. How can I live my life for the Lord? Doesn't mean you can't shift jobs, can't change jobs. God will change us and bring things, but your heart, you need to set your heart. You can set your heart against the church. Well, I love God, but I don't like that church. I don't like that pastor. I don't like those leaders. I don't like what they do. You can see every negative thing. And you will fill your heart with that. And you'll be robbed of what God wants to give you through the church. I've met many people over the years. You know, they love God, really. They want to do God's will, but they got a warped sense of the church. And they never get themselves. They never let themselves be planted in the church. Bible says that he that is planted in the house of the Lord will flourish and bear much fruit. They don't flourish, they don't bear much fruit, because they're not planted in the house of the Lord. Why are they not planted in the house of the Lord? Because they never set their heart towards it. They allowed everyone else to talk and all the negative things to come into their mind. And so now everything they do is against their heart. But if you give your heart to God, you give it to your spouse, you direct it, and you realize, I can direct my heart, your heart will change. And you'll be stronger than you've ever been. You'll be at peace when you give your heart. Give your heart to that which is valuable, that which is eternal, that which God wants. You say, well, I don't feel like, well, you may not feel now because your heart's somewhere else. But you set your heart in that direction and let it be filled with those good treasures. Then the feelings will come and the life will come and the joy will come because you've given your heart to the Lord. Let's stand together today. The Lord says to us again, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Will you make a choice today, decision? I'm going to give my heart to God. Not just in a prayer, but today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day. There's some things I'm repenting of. Not that they're so bad, but I just realize they're filling my life. They have too much a part of me. And I just need to give my heart to God. And that's going to be the focus. And I'm going to then bear the dividends and the good things that will come out of my life because I've given my heart to God. There's a song that I want us to sing, and it's one we've sung before. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you everything. Every breath that I take, every moment of awake, Lord, have your way in me. I wonder if we could just close the service by singing this prayer to the Lord and mean it from your heart as you sing it. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Give you my soul. to this service that you would just reveal yourself to us and draw us by your Spirit. Lord, we realize that when we turn to you, then the power of your Spirit is directed towards us, that we can receive an energy we wouldn't have otherwise. The power of your Holy Spirit enters our life when we direct ourselves towards you. And it's just not our efforts, but you're working through us. Lord, I pray everyone in this place would hear your word this morning, that they would direct their heart towards you. They would start treasuring up eternal things in their heart. And Lord, may that center of gravity shift for each and every one of us to the things of you. Lord, may we not lose the truth of this message, the truth of your word. Help us to be steadfast, immovable, as your word says. May our hearts be anchored towards you. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, go in the